Hi, thank you. This is Kelly Schwinghammer, and I'm the Communications Director for the Blue-Green Alliance. Thank you for joining us today for this conference call to discuss the merger of the Blue-Green Alliance and the Apollo Alliance, and also to discuss new legislation from Senator Sherrod Brown, the SMART Act. I'd like to now turn it over to the Blue-Green Alliance Executive Director, David Foster.
Thank you very much, Kelly. This is David Foster, the Executive Director of the Blue-Green Alliance, and I want to thank you all for joining us today. With 24 million Americans unemployed or underemployed, our country desperately needs a hiring plan. So today we're pleased to be announcing the merger of the Blue-Green Alliance, a national strategic partnership of 14 of America's largest unions and environmental organizations with 14 million members between them, with the Apollo Alliance, another strong national coalition of labor, environmental, community, and business groups, to create the new Blue-Green Alliance as the country's foremost advocate to drive a national movement for solving America's interlocking economic, environmental, and energy problems. We need to create jobs, and we need to create millions of them for a competitive, clean energy American economy. And we're especially pleased also to have with us today Senator Sherrod Brown, who will be announcing an important introduction of the SMART Act project of the Blue-Green Alliance and Apollo Alliance going forward to dramatize the important ways in which we can revitalize American manufacturing around transportation, infrastructure, and investment. With that introduction, I'd like to first introduce the board chair of the Blue-Green Alliance, Leo Gerard, international president of the United Steelworkers. Leo?
Thank you, David. Let me just say how proud I am of the accomplishments of the Apollo Alliance and the Blue-Green Alliance. Carl Pope and I both being founding participants of both organizations, I can say that the path that we've marched together has been an important path of laying down the foundation to talk about jobs and to jobs in the 21st century. And the work that the Apollo Alliance have done in the Transportation Manufacturing Action Plan that we put together, these two programs bring together the best ideas, along with what Senator Sherrod Brown is going to introduce in his SMART Act, of revitalizing industrial manufacturing in America, doing it in a way that takes carbon emissions out of the air, doing it in a way that gives us a modern transportation strategy, doing it in a way that creates sustainable, renewable energy on an ongoing basis, and as a result of that, needing to create millions upon millions of jobs. Let me just say that it's a total disappointment when we see the behavior in Washington where, in particular, I want to be very partisan here, Republicans have had no interest and no program and no action whatsoever to deal with jobs. The only way we're going to get out of this deficit mess that was created by the previous administration is if we get people back to work. And you can see in some states where we've gotten some job growth, they're already getting out of the state deficit problems, but insist on still cutting programs that would create sustainable jobs, still insist on cutting programs that would give us a modern infrastructure. So from the point of view of both the chairmanship of the Blue-Green Alliance and international president of the Steelworkers, the merger of these two great organizations is going to create the most powerful grassroots force for a renewal of good manufacturing jobs that makes sense, that are energy efficient and take carbon out of the air. And we will have a strong grassroots presence in 17 states across the country. And this is an exciting time that we're going to focus on the real deficit in this country. And the real deficit in this country is a jobs deficit. If we could get back to 3.5% or 4% or even 5% unemployment, which to me is still high, but if we could get back to that, we would not have a deficit problem or an alleged deficit problem, because our view, the steelworker view, has been from day one, we have a revenue problem caused by the kind of skullduggery and corruption that brought the economy to its knees in 2008 and from rotten trade deals. So I'm excited about the future, and I'm excited about what Senator Brown is going to do. I'm excited about the Apollo Alliance BGA merger and what we're going to be able to do together. And David, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you very much, Leo. And now I'd like to introduce U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, a longtime champion of clean energy job development, a great friend of the Apollo Alliance and the Blue-Green Alliance over the years, and someone we look to be a leader in these issues. Sherrod?
Dave, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with four of the great thinkers and activists on how environmental issues and worker jobs issues come together and why there's such synergism there, and we do the right environmental and jobs policies. They work so well together. This merger is another step, I believe, towards strengthening the progressive alliances that understand sustainability and jobs are inclusive, not exclusive. In fact, they go hand in hand. I was with, 12 years ago, I was with Leo and Carl and others in Seattle for the World Trade Organization meetings, the first time labor and environmental issues got on the radar of trade ministers from throughout the world with the explanation of how they do, in fact, go hand in hand. Since then, that partnership has evolved as our environmental and economic challenges have changed. The last decade alone, to be sure, has tested that resiliency and the resolve of the middle class. We've seen unfair trade agreements and recession, threats to the auto industry, overreach of Wall Street, obstacles that persistently undermine our middle class. That's why organizations like Blue Green and Apollo are so important. They focus policymakers on middle class issues, on families that aspire to join the middle class. One issue I've worked closely with Apollo and Blue Green is strengthening domestic manufacturing of our public transit vehicles and materials. Manufacturers responsible, we know, for creating hundreds of thousands of good-paying middle-class jobs. With gas prices up close to $4, slightly under in most places now, $4 a gallon, but reinvesting in transit is more important than ever. It means further reducing our dependence on foreign oil. It means increasing the number of jobs at home. With an estimated 27,000 transit buses, 4,000 passenger rail cars and locomotives, 220 light rail cars in need of replacement over the next 5 years, there's need for public policy to ensure these vehicles are made in America. That's why I'm introducing the SMART Act, Strengthening Manufacturing and Rebuilding Transit Act, to ensure that we create American jobs as we rebuild our transit system. The bill is introduced with Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, gives preference to domestic transportation supply chains when communities and cities apply for competitive transportation grants. It would make waivers of existing Buy America requirements more transparent by centralizing information on a single website. It would complement the work that has been started by the Manufacturing Extension Partnership, and that I've encouraged personally with Secretary LaHood, that conducts scouting of manufacturers and seeing which manufacturers can fill gaps in the domestic transit supply chain. It means supporting manufacturers across Ohio and the nation who provide the steel for train tracks and trolley lines, to the engines and windshields, to seats and to safety equipment. Simply put, the buses and trolleys and trains that take Americans to every corner of our country should, in fact, be made in America. The Apollo Alliance and Blue Green have been central to this goal. The SMART Act is a common sense approach to achieving it, strengthening our public transit options, revitalizing our manufacturing heritage along the way, and creating jobs to strengthen the middle class and to help those people who aspire to join the middle class to, in fact, be able to. I applaud the merger. I look forward to the new coalition's work helping us on these kinds of issues that help the environment and help us grow jobs in this country. I'll stop. I guess Phil's next. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much, Senator Brown. And now I'd like to call on Phil Angelides, the chairman of the Apollo Alliance, a longtime advocate and champion of clean energy and energy-efficient investments for the past two decades, chairman of the Apollo Alliance Board, and soon to be member of the Blue-Green Alliance Board. Phil?
Thank you very much, Dave, and it's an honor to be on this call with Senator Brown and Leo Gerard and Carl Pope. And let me say I'm proud to be on this call as the chairman of the Apollo Alliance and, as David said, soon to be a member of the new Blue-Green Alliance Board. Let me just preface my remarks by noting the following. In January of this year, the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, which I was appointed ahead by Congress, which looked into the financial meltdown on Wall Street that devastated our economy. In January of this year, we issued our report, and we detailed the financial recklessness and speculation that brought our financial system to the verge of collapse and brought our economy to its knees. The more I reflect on our report, I realize the real tragedy of the years running up to the crisis was that we built an economy of money making money rather than an economy where money was used and capital was used to put Americans to work, to build enterprises that not only sustained American families and our economy, but also preserved the environment. This is an important call today because we're coming together, the Blue-Green Alliance, the Apollo Alliance, to say loudly and clearly that in the wake of an era in which our financial system and our economy were brought to their knees by financial recklessness and speculation, at a time when 24 million Americans are out of work or unable to find full-time work, at a time when this nation remains perniciously dependent on foreign oil, and where one-third of our cumulative trade deficit in recent years is due to our importation of foreign oil, now is the time when we must come together with a strong, unified voice to say we want to put America back to work, we want to create good-paying jobs for American families, and we want to do this by making America the leader, not the laggard, in building the new green economy across this globe. And it can be done. So today, I think, is an important day because we come together as two organizations committed to the same goal. We strengthen our voice. As Leo said, we are already operating across the country. For example, the Apollo Alliance has organizations in 13 states and 4 communities, the Blue-Green Alliance in 10 states. We now spread our net even wider and further. So we come together to say the urgency is now to put America back to work. And as Leo said, there will be no closing of the federal deficit. There will be no closing of the trade deficit unless we create this new green economy with good jobs. And so it's fitting that as we come together, the first act we take together is to join Senator Brown in supporting his SMART Act legislation to say that what we want to do is invest in transit in this country and make sure as we build the transit systems of the 21st century, transit within cities and high-speed rail to connect cities, that America ought to be the place where we make the goods, make the equipment, and put our people to work. Today, we account for production of about 5% of the global fleet of transit. We ought to be the world leader. And as we do that, we make sure we give Americans transportation options in an era of $4 and $5 a gallon gasoline, and we put our people to work. So this conference call, I think, says a lot. It says we're coming together with a strong voice, and it says that with Senator Brown's bill and more legislation to come, we want to put jobs, green jobs, back in the center of debate in Washington, where apparently, if the folks like the House Republican leadership were to have their way, it would disappear from the map. We're not going to let that happen.
Thank you very much, Phil. And now I'd like to call on Carl Pope, the chair of the Sierra Club, and a founder of both the Blue-Green Alliance and Apollo Alliance, and current co-chair of Blue-Green Alliance. Carl?
Thank you very much, Dave. It is delightful to be here. It is a nice thing about helping to birth organizations is that your children can get married, which they can't do when you have biological children, and it's wonderful to see these two exciting endeavors come together. I want to reframe slightly Leo Gerard's what he called partisan comments. When the Apollo Alliance and the Blue-Green Alliance were launched, there was a leadership cadre in the Republican Party that understood that green jobs were the future to restoring the dynamism of the American economy. There was a guy who was the governor of Michigan named Mitt Romney, who signed his state up for the Northeast Climate Conference. There was a governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, who helped his state pass what was then the most aggressive renewable energy standard in the country. There was a governor of Utah, John Huntsman, who helped to put Utah at the head of the Western mass transit movement. And there was a former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, who spoke out loudly about the need to create green jobs. It is a stunning almost despair-making fact that at this moment, those five people have abandoned their own principles, they have abandoned their own beliefs, and they have abandoned the principles of their party. They have simply panicked and decided that the one pathway which they know could take America back to world leadership is a pathway which is too unpopular with a tiny minority of extremists within their party and the funders of that tiny minority, people like the Koch brothers. So I want to say I do not believe this can or should be or can afford to be a partisan issue. Grassroots Republicans need to take their party back from the Koch brothers, and as part of a unified blue-green Apollo alliance, I'm delighted to join with Senator Brown in the first step towards taking us down the path to American leadership in the world. That leadership has been squandered. That leadership must be recovered.
Thank you very much, Carl. And now to those of you from the press, we'd like to give you an opportunity to ask questions of any of today's participants. If the operator would please open up the lines and cue the calls, we're happy to hear from you and answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad at this time, and we'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, that's star 1 if you have a question at this time.
Let me jump in and ask a question of Leo Girard. Could you comment a little bit on how a transportation initiative such as the one that Senator Brown is introducing into Congress could help the steel industry in the United States?
Sure. It will help the steel industry in particular if we go to a much more effective light rail and high rail or high-speed rail system. Or we could make the rail, we could make the cars, we could make the glass, we could make the wire, we could make the parts. It would really transform the whole of the steel industry in ways that we haven't seen in 25 or 30 years. And if we do it in mass transit with high-speed rail or energy-efficient buses, the kind of metal that goes into buses is steel, aluminum, copper. And if the buses are domestically made, it would certainly have our tire industry going. And if you take all of those sectors and you put them together, on every one of those sectors, the carbon that's emitted from the manufacture of steel or the manufacture of tires or the manufacture of wire or the manufacture of aluminum in the American industry is substantially, in some cases, up to 300% more carbon efficient or carbon neutral than it is made in China. For every ton of steel made in China, we have 3 times the amount of carbon as a ton of steel made in America. And I always remind people it didn't say Pittsburgh warming, it says global warming. So that would be a huge benefit to, David, not just to our steel industry, but to all of our major basic industries, tire and aluminum, copper, steel, many others.
Great. Thank you. Operator, are there questions?
Yes, you do have a question from the line of Saki Ibrahim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Could you please detail how the Buy American provisions work and how it compares to other times we've tried to institute this kind of policy?
By the way, can you identify your publication for us?
It's called Climate Wire. We write about climate change policy.
Right. Yes, Senator Brown.
Jared had to get back into a meeting, maybe.
While we're trying to see if Senator Brown had to step off back into a meeting, let me, this is David Foster, let me kick out the conversation on that. The SMART Act would make the entire process of purchasing of transit vehicles more transparent because it would put all the information onto a single public website so that people in the manufacturing arena who are capable of participating in the bidding for such vehicles would know about the acquisition that was happening. For instance, in my home state of Minnesota, there's a hybrid bus manufacturing company called New Flyer in St. Cloud, Minnesota. That's a company that would be clearly helped by this kind of legislation by providing easy access to markets, easy access to opportunities to participate. It would also provide competitive advantage and preference to building domestic transportation supply chains. One of the things that has caused manufacturing to dwindle in this country has been lack of easy access to original equipment manufacturers. And so as small manufacturers make products in different parts of the country, they lose touch with the new markets that open up in specific big investments, such as an increase in mass transit vehicle production in this country. The Blue-Green Alliance, for instance, operates a clean energy manufacturing center that works with the federal government, private manufacturers, on creating educational awareness of supply chains in the renewable energy industry all over the country. We recently held a supply chain workshop in West Virginia, informing small manufacturers in West Virginia about their opportunities of using their current machine equipment that largely services the coal industry but is quite capable of making parts for the wind turbine industry. So that's the kind of endeavor that the SMART Act would be involved in to make it easier, more effective, more transparent for American manufacturers to produce in this kind of market.
So, David, that would be primarily just changing the way that the information gets around. That would be making the information easier to access for the manufacturers, more than like a grant program or a tax subsidy or anything like that.
That's correct. That's my understanding.
And let me okay. Let me just add one thing. I mean, this would require the Department of Transportation also to
I'm sorry, who's speaking right now?
This is Phil Angelides, to produce an annual report on federal investments that didn't meet domestic content standards, so people could see clearly how we're doing in terms of achieving the goals of domestic content. But I also want to add that I think that the SMART legislation has to be coupled with very significant investments in domestic transportation to drive demand so we can then manufacture the parts and equipment here at home.
But let me add to what both said. This is Leo Girard. In that we are the major manufacturing union in North America, for us, the knowledge of what it takes to stimulate the industry is very important. If we end up with hits and misses that we're going to do high-speed rail for 200 miles here and another 150 miles there, we're going to have a problem because no one's going to invest in a modern high-speed rail mill unless they see a long-term program on that. That's why Senator Brown's legislation is so important. And if you take Dave's question, when you apply it to mass transit, saying that we're going to have a 5, 10, 15, 20-year program the way other countries do on energy-efficient mass transit, then you'll get investment in research and development into that industry in the United States. The fact of the matter is because we've had no program, we've had no strategy, the research and development has gone on in China, it's gone on in Germany, it's gone on in Scandinavia, it's gone on in other places that do have a plan. So putting forward the plan that Senator Brown puts forward, and we've supported, is going to be good not just for jobs in manufacturing, but it's going to drive R&D, and that R&D will drive additional investment. The research and development follows the manufacturing. The manufacturing doesn't follow the research and development.
Well, Leo, forgive me for asking the follow-up, but I live in D.C. I grew up in the Bay Area. In each place, the heavy rail systems were actually built. The cars are built by Alstom, which is a French company. Now, they set up their factories in the United States, which is great because they have to hire Americans. But the R&D, if you want to build the car now, comes from an Alstom plant, which means it comes off Alstom R&D.
I think we need to drive that agenda so that the R&D is done and we do manufacturing here. And you know, some people are afraid to say it, but I'm not. Most of these countries that we're talking about, what we're competing with, they have a manufacturing strategy. They have a manufacturing plan, and they demand if you're going to spend taxpayer dollars, if you're going to have taxpayer investments in it, that it create jobs in the country that the taxpayers are from. We lost jobs in the wind turbine industry because China insisted if you're going to build a turbine or sell a turbine in China, it has to have 80% domestic content. We shouldn't be any dumber than they are.
Thanks.
Great. Next question.
Let me also point out that if the difference when the Bay Area system was built, it was the only one being built in the country. If you really want to get the supply chain in the United States, you have to build a big market. That's the challenge that faces us.
Got to build a big market, and then we got to capture it. Should we go on?
Yes. Next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Sean Johnson with a National Journal.
Hey, guys. Thanks for holding this. This is kind of a devil's advocate question, hanging off of Leo Gerard's comments at the beginning on just the partisanship aspect. Just in this alliance, it's looking to me like it's more solidly Democrat than others. So I'm wondering what to make of that and whether there's any hope for any kind of winning over the Republicans from you guys or elsewhere.
Go ahead, Carol.
I think that the American people, including those Americans who are registered as Republicans, overwhelmingly understand that a new clean energy economy is the key both to their economic future, to our national security, and to their health. And I think that at the end of the day, the majority, the grassroots majority in the Republican Party, will simply insist that their party come back to its roots. I can't tell you exactly how long that's going to take, but American politics has a self-corrective quality. When a party goes off the rails, and in Washington, D.C., I'm perfectly willing to say the Republican Party has gone off the rails, there tends to be corrective action. And I anticipate that as the American people see that in states where these kinds of programs are adopted by state governments, you see economic growth. And in states where they're not, in states where they refuse high-speed rail, the leadership of the Republican Party will come to its senses. But I can't tell you exactly how long it's going to take, and right now it's very tough.
Okay.
Well, this is Dave Foster, and I would point you to look at the recent election results in New York, where extreme positions around the health care issue resulted in sensible Republicans deserting that party and voting for common sense solutions. And I agree with Carl that the solution to our current unemployment problems, our current environmental problems, lies in a common sense solution that common sense Republicans understand, have supported for a long time. And what's exciting about the coming together of the Blue-Green and Apollo alliances is the creation of a platform that can take those common sense solutions all the way across America, talk to people about what's the sensible path forward for the American economy, the sensible path forward for dealing with our climate crisis, and coming up with solutions that are not Republican in nature. They're not anti-business. These, in fact, are core to many of the business strategies of America's largest corporations, and that's why many of them have been supporters of the Blue-Green Alliance and the Apollo Alliance in the past. Because they understand the things we're advocating for are not, at their essence, either Democratic or Republican. They're not anti-business. In fact, they're the common-sense solutions that get America moving again.
And this is filling in.
Let me add to what David said. I want to go back to my original statement. There's no way out of the self-inflicted deficit that was created by the Republicans and the Wall Street meltdown, unless we get people back to work. And we have to recognize that we have to have a national strategy to get people back to work. And the way we're going to get people back to work is by making things. So if we're making things that are also energy efficient and carbon efficient and taking carbon out of the air, we're not only putting people back to work, we're lowering the deficit and we're healing the climate at the same time. I couldn't think of a better approach. And with David's comment is absolutely right. We saw a political correction in New York, And I think we're going to see more political corrections unless Republicans get to common sense solutions. Phil?
Just a quick comment, which is many of the initiatives that we've moved forward, the Apollo Alliance, and I know this is true of the Blue-Green Alliance, should receive, deserve to receive support across the aisles, across the political spectrum. Senator Brown carried legislation in the last legislative session called the Impact Bill to provide support to American manufacturers, and it was supported by hundreds of manufacturers across this country. This transportation measure introduced today will garner support from American businesses, and I agree. The Republican Party in Washington will need to wake up to the reality that American businesses are hungry to expand, to put people back to work, and grab a share of what is going to be a large pie of this global green economy. Right now, we're losing out. We're losing out our competitive edge.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Any more questions, operator?
Yes, your next question comes from the line of Lucia Graves with the Huffington Post.
Yeah, hi, this is Lucia. I was hoping someone could speak to next steps in Congress, what the way forward looks like, when things might come up for a vote.
Anybody want to jump in on this first?
Well, I think one of the things we have to keep aware of is one of the things Congress is definitely going to be dealing with very shortly is the reauthorization of the nation's transportation legislation. So there's actually a must-pass bill relating to how we fund America's transportation infrastructure. So in this case, the possibility of Congress just not doing anything is probably not acceptable to either party. So I think the path forward lies through the debate about the transportation reauthorization bill.
And as Senator Brown has pointed out, the last Transportation Reauthorization Act committed $10 billion toward the purchase of public transit vehicles. That's one of the reasons why the SMART Act is so important to our organizations, that provides a vehicle for making sure that that massive public expenditure actually results in a resurgence of manufacturing and American jobs and subsequent deficit reduction by putting money in people's pockets.
And in the big picture, look, our coming together is about sending a very powerful message that legislative efforts need to be focused on job creation. As Leo said early, there will be no reduction of the deficit in real terms, long term, unless we reduce the number of unemployed in this country dramatically. The only way the deficit will be reduced is to shred the social fabric, which is unacceptable both economically and socially. And so the path out is to have a national policy of being the leader in clean energy. It starts in transportation. It extends to energy efficiency, improving our transmission grid. It extends to increasing the production of renewable energy. So our new merged organization will try to put job creation through the green economy back on the map in terms of discussion in Washington.
Next question.
At this time, there are no further questions in the queue.
Okay. I want to thank all the members of the press then who joined with us today. There's an opportunity to do follow-up interviews with any of the speakers who were on today's call. The announcement of the merger of the Blue-Green Alliance and Apollo Alliance will be on the websites of both organizations. And then lastly, I want to thank the panelists who were with us today, Senator Sherrod Brown, Leo Gerard, President of the Steelworkers Union, Phil Angelides, Board Chair of the Apollo Alliance, and Carl Pope, Chair of the Sierra Club. Thank you very much, everyone, and good day to all of you.
David, can you call me right away?
Yep.
Thank you all.
Thank you for participating in today's teleconference. At this time, you may now disconnect.